everyone. Welcome to Keeping Them Safe. This is Sharon Doty, here to empower you to protect children and to keep them safe from sexual predators. You know, today I'm going to talk about something a little bit different. I want to talk about how we speak about this issue amongst ourselves and with other people, and how that speaking impacts our ability to actually even be effective. One of the experiences that each of us have on a regular basis is filling out paperwork that includes personal information. When my husband died a few years ago, I started to really notice that every single form that I encounter includes society's desire to label me. I wonder if you've given that much thought, how much of society is about labeling people and putting people in boxes and making sure that things are the way that they are predicted to be inside a little box, because we're supposed to know how to perform inside the box. Now, I know now that all those options on those forms were always there, but I never really saw them before. You know, I can now, when I look at that form, I now can see that whether it says single or married, divorced, widowed, it's not about knowing me or even knowing my experience. It's about putting me in a category so you know what to do with me or how to relate to me. And that started me thinking about how many other places we label people and leave them living inside a box, and how that limits how others see them, and maybe more importantly, how they see themselves. A priest friend of mine, when I was talking to him about this once, saw an article I'd written about this labeling, and he called me and he said, "I'm in my 60s and I've been a priest for 40 years. And yet, when I saw that article, I realized that I am for myself an orphan. Both my parents died when I was young. I was sent to an orphanage. I was labeled an orphan. And I have functioned in my life ever since then as an orphan, the way an orphan is supposed to, whatever that means. But society does have parameters of behavior that we're supposed to operate inside of with those labels. So when I was thinking about this, one of the places that came to mind is when we talk about children and adult survivors of child sexual abuse. You know, you're listening to a podcast that has as its goal empowering us to protect children from sexual predators. Our goal is to develop a base of knowledge about who does this, how they do it, and how we stop it from happening. We are out to become experts at child sexual abuse prevention. Sometimes, when our focus is on that world, we start to attach labels to people in situations that have an unintended effect. You know, it's like a shorthand speaking that has consequences that we don't always see right away. So what are those labels? Well, among the labels that we attach to this particular issue are victim, survivor, victim-survivor, and child molester, pedophile, or ephebophile. And sometimes we use those labels without clearly knowing what they mean for the person. And I looked up a couple of them, you know. For example, the dictionary defines victim as a person who suffers from a destructive or injurious action. A person who suffers from that. Does everyone who is molested suffer from a destructive or injurious action? No, not really. If people are intervened with, if children get assistance early on, very often They recover and they go on to lead really healthy, normal lives, and they don't have long-term effects. But when we label them victim, we put them in that category of someone who suffers from a destructive and injurious action. And then I looked up survivor. Survivor is defined as a person who continues to function or prosper in spite of opposition, hardships, or setbacks. Now, how many of those people that we might have labeled victims do you think would rather be called survivors? Would rather be thought of as a person who continues to function, continues to prosper in spite of opposition, hardship, or setbacks? So when we label a person as a victim or survivor, that can absolutely determine how the community relates to them and how they see themselves. And the problem is that labels can also interfere with the fulfillment of the intention of our efforts here. Now, how does that happen? Well, we're interested in primary prevention. You know, primary prevention, preventing something from ever happening. There's absolutely nothing wrong with tertiary prevention or other aspects of the prevention spectrum. But primary prevention is where our focus is because we want children to never have to experience this. If they do, then we want tertiary prevention to hop right in there and prevent it from happening again. But primary prevention is what we're up to here. And keeping our eye on that intention is key to our effectiveness in empowering ourselves and others to create and maintain safe environments. Primary prevention calls us to look for the advance indicators of harmful behaviors in order to intervene and interrupt the process and eliminate the risk before children ever get hurt. That means we want to create a space, an environment, a world where there's no opportunity for child sexual abuse to occur. No opportunity for someone to be considered by anyone as a victim or a survivor or a victim survivor. See, in a world where no abuse can happen, there aren't any victims, there aren't any survivors, there aren't any perpetrators or pedophiles or ephebophiles. There are just people taking certain actions and sometimes exhibiting certain risky behaviors. And then there's us recognizing and interrupting those behaviors. At Keeping Them Safe, what we're here for is to provide you with the tools that allow you to observe and assess the behavioral characteristics of all the adults that interact with children in your environments. Our goal is really simple. We want to focus your attention in a new way. We want to identify and interrupt behaviors that are risky and potentially harmful. Behaviors that could be part of a grooming process or that condition children and adults to accept potentially risky behaviors that could be a way for a predator to prey on our children right under our noses. We want everyone to see, recognize, and put a stop to the behaviors that convicted child molesters have told us over and over are an integral part of the way they gain access to our children. Now, why do we want to do that? Because we know these behaviors can be part of a grooming process. And honestly, whether that is the intention of the adult exhibiting the behavior or not, if we interrupt the risky behavior, no child gets molested. See, identifying and interrupting these behaviors not only eliminates the risk in the current situation, but it teaches people what's appropriate and what's not, so that there's no conditioning of the child or the community that allows for a potential predator to gain access in the future. When we look for and interrupt these behaviors and tell others what to watch for and why, We become a team of adults with a mission to protect children, a mission to keep them safe. We're not accusing, we're not pointing fingers, we're not labeling others or their behavior. We are creating and maintaining safe environments that allow for powerful, supportive, caring interactions between adults and children that nourish everyone involved. You know, someone once said in one of my classes that she saw this program in a unique way. She said that in her life, it was as if the community of adults and children she was part of was held together by a huge fishnet. But there were some holes in the net that could allow people with a different intention to sneak into the environment. Doing this work, becoming proficient at recognizing and intervening in the risky behaviors we identify here, is our way of repairing the net, closing the holes. If all of us can see that as the purpose of what we're up to, then the efforts we make to interrupt and intervene when potentially risky behaviors are evident will be seen as repair work for the environment. You know, like, I don't know, like putting gutters on the house and adding a leaf shield to protect the environment from harm in rain and snow. In keeping them safe, there are no labels. Our attention is on recognizing and interrupting behaviors, not pedophiles or ephebophiles or child molesters. Behaviors don't have these labels. Our intention is to raise awareness about the scope and nature of the problem and the need for us to recognize and interrupt risky adult behaviors in order to protect children. Labeling children or adults can have a negative impact on this intention. So it's really important to pay attention to the way you speak. Eliminating labels as much as possible helps us create a community focused on safety and prevention. Labels can leave others with something completely inconsistent with the intention of keeping them safe. Labels color our thinking and acting and can impact our efforts in support of primary prevention. You know, just think about it. Just think about how you view somebody who's referenced as a victim and how that view is different if the label they attach is survivor. They're the same person. They experience the same harm. They're confronting and dealing with the same consequences, but they are different for you and in the way they're perceived in the community, they differ for themselves. When we eliminate the labels and talk instead about people, we see that person as a person. You know, we also should be really careful about using the words pedophile or ephebophile. They're not merely descriptions of people who behave in a particular way. Those two words are clinical diagnoses, and they really are only appropriate for those that meet the DSM-5 definitions and are diagnosed by a mental health professional. Referencing to someone who has committed these crimes by name or as predators is a more accurate representation of what we know and what we can say about these people. Now, one of the challenging things for us is that eliminating labels also means we have to start listening to others who attach labels to people. It's important to remember that our job, our focus, our intention is to identify possible grooming behaviors in order to be able to recognize and interrupt them and prevent any possible abuse. People who exhibit risky behaviors are not pedophiles. They're potentially risky adults. There's a danger in labeling these adults exhibiting potentially risky behaviors as pedophiles or ephebophiles or child molesters. It's not our job. Our job is to learn to recognize and intervene when potentially risky behaviors are exhibited. Labeling limits how you and others see the people around you And labeling can even lead to accusing people without any real evidence of intent to harm a child. Keeping them safe is a new and innovative approach. It's only about 20 years old. Catholic Church in the United States has been working to bring this type of prevention education to the forefront of prevention efforts for over 20 years. You are people who can help all of us find ways to promote and maintain safe environments and protect children by eliminating any opportunity for abuse to occur in the environment around you. Keeping them safe is a challenging objective. It's something I've been at work on every day of my life for the last 25 years. Should be easy, but we all know that it's not. And labeling people adds to the challenge because it changes the way people see what's happening. Focus on the things we can do that will keep them safe and leave the labels behind. This is Sharon Doty thanking you for continuing to develop yourself to keep them safe.